I was gathering up my things to leave and go back home when Ebenezer appeared in the doorway. "Hawes," he said calmly, "figured I'd walk you home." "Appreciate it, sir," I told him. I had already sent Mouse home with Molly, and it was always a good idea to avoid walking the ways alone. We started walking through the tunnels. I was heartily sick of them. I'm not claustrophobic or anything, but I think you need some kind of groundhog gene to enjoy living at White Council HQ. We hadn't gone far when I realized that Ebenezer was taking a roundabout route to the way, through tunnels that were largely unused and unlit. He conjured a dim red light to his staff, just enough to let us see our way, and in the color least likely to be noticed. "Well," he said, "we filled Lafortier's seat on the senior council today."
"Klaus the Toymaker?" I asked.
Ebenezer shook his head slowly. "Klaus didn't say it, but I suspect the Merlin asked him to decline. Grigori Christos got the seat." I frowned. The seats on the senior council were awarded gerocratically. Whoever had the most years of service in the council was offered the position of leadership, though there was nothing that required a wizard to accept a seat when it was available. "Who the hell is that? He's not up at the top of the seniority list." My mentor grimaced.
"Aye, a Greek. And an unpleasant bastard. He's lived all through Southern Asia over the past couple of centuries. Distinguished himself in the battle with that Rakshasa Raj the council took on recently."
"I remember when it happened," I said. "I heard it was pretty crazy." Ebenezer grunted.
"He was Lafortier's protege."
I took that in, processing the logic.
"I thought that block had been appeased."
"When someone wants power, you can't buy him off," Ebenezer said. "He'll take what you offer and keep on coming. And Christos as much as told the Merlin that he and his allies would secede from the council if he didn't get the seat."
"Jesus," I said quietly.
He nodded. "Might as well give the Red Court the keys to all our gates and let them kill us in our sleep. Fewer bystanders would get hurt."
"So the Merlin made a deal," I said.
"Didn't have a lot of choice. Christos's people gained a lot of support after they lost so many at the trial. He'd have taken a third of the council with him."
"Screw the selection process, huh?" Ebenezer grimaced.
"It's never been codified by anything but tradition. Oh, the Merlin made a show of adhering to it, but I guarantee you it was arranged behind the scenes, Hoss."
He shook his head. "The senior council has issued official positions on Lafortier's assassination."
"Let me guess," I said. "Lone gunman."
He frowned at that for a moment and then nodded.
"Oh, Kennedy. Yes. It was an act of individuals motivated by profit. There is no evidence to suggest the presence of an organized conspiracy. There is no Black Council."
I stared blankly at Ebenezer.
"That's stupid."
"Damn right," he said. "But they had a majority. The Merlin, Christos, Mai, Martha Liberty, and the Gatekeeper."
I shook my head. "What the hell does he think he's accomplishing?" Ebenezer shrugged.
"He's never been easy to read, and I've known him since I was 16 years old. Two or three explanations come to mind."
"Like maybe he's Black Council?"
Ebenezer walked for several steps in silence, then he said,
"Aye."
"Or maybe Peabody got to him harder than we all think," I said.
"Improbable," Ebenezer said. "The drugs he slipped the senior council let him nudge them, us. But we're all too crusty to bend more than that."
"What then?"
"Well, Hoss," he said, "maybe Langtree's worried about the consequences of officially acknowledging the Black Council.